Blog Talk Radio.
Most of the time, you don't have to think about what to do. You just go ahead and do it.
From the Temple of Truth, The Willie Lawson Show, here on Blog Talk Radio. From the Temple of Truth, The Willie Lawson Show, here on Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Will Austin Show here on Blog Talk Radio, Red State Talk Radio Network. It is indeed a pleasure to be here. We are here in the Spacebar Productions corporate studios today because we have a meeting later on this side of town. You know, we're doing our part to conserve energy and conserve gas because the mobile studio is not cheap to roll around anymore. It is not cheap. It's right around $94, $95 to fill up. So it is not cheap to roll around. So we are, as we ask for donations for the show and the like, we're being very careful with your dollars. Quite unlike the government right now. This whole GSA story is just amazing. And we're going to get into it a little later because, first of all, it is just too good to be true. It is just good. It's just good stuff. I mean, this is a department that just keeps on giving. It's really amazing. It's just amazing. What's happening? The GSA party people. It's just amazing. I was just watching Fox News, which I really never get a chance to watch because, you know, normally during this time I'm in the Spacebar Production Studios doing this. So I don't. But I was watching earlier. There's a picture of the GSA director in a hot tub with some wine. It was just off the flipping chain. So this is good. This is good stuff. I think it's important that we make sure that we don't treat this too. I mean, again, we don't get so much into this that it becomes a distraction from what's really going on. But this is a symptom of what Washington is, you know. And this is the same department in 2008 that have had a lavish affair in New Orleans. The email, and we're going to try to find the text of that email that was sent by the director is incredible. It's absolutely incredible. But this is the kind of people that we have allowed to get into government. And what we don't understand is a lot of times when we're talking about government, we're not talking about necessarily just the elected officials. We're talking about all the underlings. We're talking about the bureaucrats, the nameless, faceless appointees that nobody knows, that no one's ever seen. Those are the people. Those are the situations and the folks that are actually spending the money, doing whatever, frankly, whatever the heck they want, on your dime and on my dime. That's really a huge problem. And the only way really to stop it is to bring down the size of government, to make it smaller, so it's easier to watch. I mean, I think the president's comment was it's a big government. Well, yeah, no crap, Sherlock. Of course it's a big government. And that's part of the problem. Now, that being, oh my God, they're showing him again. The guy's sitting in a hot tub way up there, probably on the, it looks like the 24th, 25th floor, overlooking Las Vegas, with a couple of glasses of wine there. Good God. Anyway, that is nasty. That is just nasty. But in any case, the problem is, and I'm going to say this, I know this might offend some of my conservative listeners, it's not just the size of government, it's the lack of character, moral character in the people that we have in government, the people who choose to go into government, and not just as elected officials, but again, as a nameless, faceless bureaucrat. You know, it feeds on itself. There was not a sense of thrift in this administration. There was not a sense of thrift. And of course, it's like, well, nobody's watching. They're spending money like drunken sailors. We better party like it's 1999. And that's exactly what was found. We were finding out in the GSA. Some of the folks may actually be facing criminal charges. Okay. I mean, if that's how it's going to roll. But it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. So there you go. We're going to talk a little bit about, and not much about, frankly. Because apparently Louis Farrakhan had been out of the news for a while and was looking to get back into the news and was able to do just that. Louis Farrakhan has basically said that and he's warning white folks, unless you change, your end has come. He said a whole bunch of stuff. We talked about a little bit about that yesterday. When he says these things, it's obvious to me, basically, what dude is trying to do is get some attention. He's been out of the limelight for a while, and now with the Trayvon Martin situation, I guess he's thinking that it's time for him to get back into the game a little bit. So here, dude comes with some crazy talk. The idea, folks, is to stay focused. Do not lose your focus. Stay focused on what we need to be doing. What we need to be doing is getting conservatives elected all over this country, not just in the White House, but everywhere in this country. That's how we do it. Stay focused on the game. We'll talk a little bit about that, too. I want to get back to you. Hey, listen, welcome to the Real Awesome Show here on Blog Talk Radio and Red State Talk Radio. We appreciate you being here. Listen, if you like what we do, go to the Real Awesome website and click on the donate button at the top of the page. You could use your help. So thank you so much. Right back.
It takes 12 years to create a graduate. It takes about the same time to create a dropout. The difference between a child becoming one or the other could be you. Studies prove that reading to a child regularly dramatically improves reading skills. And kids who read well by third grade are 4 times as likely to graduate. So United Way is calling for 1 million volunteers over the next 3 years. We're asking you to step up, make a pledge, tutor a child who needs help, mentor a kid who needs someone on their side. Volunteer to read to children. Make a difference. Because when a child advances, we all advance. Entire communities improve. The path to success or failure starts long before graduation day. And the difference between a graduate and a dropout could be you. Be a reader, tutor, or mentor. Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Take the pledge. Go to liveunited.org now. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
So, Jacqueline.
Yes, Mom?
I wanted to talk to you about something and... Oh, wait. Hold on. I just got a text. Oh, there's another one. Wow. Busy, busy me. So, anyway...
Oh, wait, Mom. I just got a message. My friends keep commenting on my comment. Oh, there's another one. So many comments on my comment.
Oh, I can't wait to watch TV tonight. Playoffs!
Hey, guys, check out my new video game. Pew, pew.
Wait.
Mom, what?
What? Hold
What'd
on.
What'd you say? Wait a second, hold on.
This weekend, unplug. Take your family to the forest. There's nothing in the world like experiencing nature firsthand. Trees, paths, bluebirds, streams. Getting closer to nature can get you closer to your family. To find the forest nearest you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
In these hard economic times, you've got to do whatever you can to save money. One of our biggest expenses can be our cars, especially when unexpected repair bills hit. Not anymore. If you have a car, truck, or SUV, you can stop paying for all covered repairs. That's right. You might not have to pay a penny more than you want for repairs. Just call 1-877-229-7271 right now to see if you qualify. Repairs for your engine, transmission, and much more can become a thing of the past if your vehicle has less than 130,000 miles. Just call 877-229-7271 today and get your car protected, saving you hundreds, even thousands of dollars. Phone lines are open right now. See if your vehicle qualifies. Just call 1-877-229-7271 to get your car protected today. Call 877-229-7271. That's 1-877-229-7271. Never pay for covered car repairs again. Just call 877-229-7271. That's 877-229-7271.
Far from the city where the Lorax roams free is the home of a magical truffula trees. They grow happy and healthy and thick as you please, just waiting for visits from yous and from me's.
Whoa.
In a place you will love with things you'll adore us, it's a magical spot. We call it the forest.
Look, everyone here needs the trees.
And who are you?
Wait, I'm the Lorax, guardian of the forest. I speak for the trees.
Visit the animals. Come see the plants. From the mighty sequoia to the tiniest ants. Discover its beauty. Take time to relax. See brown barbalutes or even the Lorax.
I feel so alive.
I just like hearing you say it.
The forest is there for you to explore. So come once to see it, then come back lots more. Visit discovertheforest.org. This message has been brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
To the Will Austin Show here on Blog Talk Radio and Red State Talk Radio Network. It is good. It is good. I was only outside for a little bit. I got so much to do here. I've got, I was working in the kitchen, trying to get the kitchen counter clean for the wife when she gets home from work. That way I can be a hero. I want to be a hero, But, and I was doing some social, social media and, just working on the campaign, doing stuff. But I'm going outside for a little bit, but it's gorgeous. It's really nice. Anyway, it is interesting. We go back to 2007, when Barack Obama was running for president, when he was Senator Obama, and he was running with Dennis Kucinich and Joe Biden and Hillary Clinton and. You know what, and we're all thinking, I think we were on our side of the aisle, we're thinking, here's the deal, you need somebody, if you think about the president, the head of the most, indeed the most powerful nation on the planet, the CEO, if you consider him that way, of one of the most prosperous businesses that has ever existed, that has used the engine of capitalism and the method of capitalism by which to gain not only notoriety but power and influence on the planet, and especially in the past 240 years, it is an the United States is an amazing story. I mean, if you just think about it in the context of how long it takes any civilization or any society to gain dominance on the world stage, I don't think that anybody could have done it better and faster than the United States, because we have something that was completely unique at that point. We have a representative republic, which is still a completely different sort of governmental concept, and thus it gave the American people a whole bunch of freedom by which to earn and create and innovate. So when you have that kind of business, you need somebody who's in charge of that kind of business to understand it. First of all, to understand it, to appreciate it, and to advocate for it. See, that's the part that I think is missing with our current president. Someone to advocate for it. But we go back. We didn't have anybody like that. I don't think there was anybody like that on the Democrat side of the ticket. And frankly, I don't know if there's anybody on the Republican side of the ticket who could understands it and appreciates it and can advocate for it. I didn't know if there was somebody on the Republican side of the ticket who fit the mold there. I don't think that John McCain did. I really don't. I think that Sarah Palin appreciates it, but I don't know how effective she would have been advocating for it. You know, I don't know. But clearly, Senator Obama and Senator Biden don't really understand it, and really, I think Biden maybe appreciates it. I don't think President Obama does, and I don't think either of them can advocate for it. So there you go. Now, having said all that, to set all this up, is that now we have this business called the U.S. government, which is a huge business, which is the largest business in the country. I mean, it's a huge business. And the GSA is in charge of the business part of the government. You have to have somebody, a CEO at the top, who's going to set the tone for how things are going to go. That's why you hire CEOs. You hire them for their business sense, but they also set a tone for how the business goes. For instance, if you are going to have a widget business and you are making the best widgets ever and you're selling more widgets than anybody and now you have a board of directors, you're going to look for somebody who understands widgets, who appreciates widgets, and can advocate for them, and will set a tone in your business so you will continue to be successful. That's part of what the job of the president is. Well, he has not set a tone in government that says, you know, this is hard times. We're cutting back. We are cutting back. He has not set that tone. You talk about the vacations, the continuous vacations, the vacations every 14 days, it seems. I'm exaggerating. But the continuous vacations. The governmental spending, which is completely off the chain, the parties in the White House, the continuous parties, which set a tone. Now, my detractors are going to say, well, you're just hating on Barack Obama, and you know what, other people had parties. I agree. Agreed. What? I can't deny it. The Bushes had parties. The Clintons had parties. Mammy, as we say here in the South. Everybody has parties. But you remember when George Bush got criticism for playing golf? Remember that? After that kerfuffle there, George Bush never played another round of golf as president. Cut it out. And Barack Obama continues to play golf. And you know what? And golf ain't cheap. And especially if you've got to have Secret Service agents with you, and you know what? And you're taking away team. It's expensive. Now, don't be stupid. I don't want the guy to go. I don't want the president to go play golf without it. Without the Secret Service protection or his away team, or his advanced team. I don't want him to go out and not be protected. That would be stupid on my part. And I'm a lot of things, but I'm not stupid. I want the man protected. That's for sure. That's for sure. I don't want anything to happen to him because in the name of, well, Republicans are being cheap. I don't want any of that. That's nonsense. It's just nonsense. So I'm not even going to go there. But there's a tone he must set. He has said himself that there's a tone he must set. And the tone that he has set is not a tone of thrift. It just simply isn't. If you look how he and his wife have treated just the normal part, the yes, we live here part of being president and first lady. That's the, again, the parties, the trips, the whole deal, the vacations, just how they treat that. It hasn't set the tone. And it wouldn't even matter if it were coming out of their pocket, all of it. And it isn't, because of the other things we talk about, because of the ancillary things that I believe they have to have, like all the protection, they have to have that. And no, I don't expect the president to go vacation at the Motel 6. That's just stupid. Of course not. That's just dumb. No, I don't. Come on now. That's just dumb. I don't want that either. But there is a balance, and he hasn't done that. And I believe that everybody else in that business that we talked about has taken his lead. We all do, no matter where we work. If we know that our boss doesn't care about this or that, we don't care about this or that. We know that they care about that and that. We care about that and that. That's how it works. We take our lead from our leaders. Wow. Did you hear the words? We take our lead from our leaders. And I believe that the folks at the GSA have taken their lead from the leaders. The big scandal right now is that the folks at the GSA went to Vegas and set up this huge party. They'll say it was an awards banquet. This is from the Las Vegas Review Journal. Actually, it's an AP story. The General Services Administration witnesses came under sharp criticism from Congress for a second day on Tuesday as lawmakers expressed outrage over junkets, bonuses, and parties paid for by taxpayers. Questioning ranged beyond the $823,000 paid for a Las Vegas conference in October of 2010 to a culture of the nation's government real estate agency playing fast and loose with taxpayer money. Members of the House Transportation and Infrastructure Subcommittee asked about trips to the South Pacific, the Napa Valley wine country, and to Las Vegas to plan for the October conference. Inspector General Brian Miller, whose report on the Los Angeles conference touched off a congressional investigation, almost seemed overwhelmed by the scope of wrongdoing. Every time we turned over a stone, we found 50 more with all kinds of things crawling out, Miller said. Family members were often taken along. And an email exchange between GSA and regional executive Jeffrey Neely and his wife last November, they wrote of a planned trip turning into a birthday celebration. The 17-day trip took place last February to Hawaii, Guam, and Saipan. Neely, who was placed on administrative leave, wrote his wife, "Rough schedule per our conversation. Guess this will be your birthday present?" She responded, it's your birthday. We're going to party like it's your birthday. GSA, so Neely and his wife are planning to say, you know, we're going to party. This is not a business trip. This is not a government trip. We're going to party. But again, you know, here's the president, and the president does. The leader always sets the tone. He always sets the tone. She always sets the tone. You know, my wife is a manager at a local credit union, and she sets the tone in her branch. You know, the people who do well with her are the ones who have learned to care about what she cares about and to ignore the things that she ignores. Those are the people who do well there. Learn what she, and you know what, and we've all, and come on now, we have all done that. That's how we get along, and that's how we move along in our jobs. What do our superiors care about? Then you care about that too. You know? And what do they ignore? Well, whatever they ignore, you can ignore too. Okay? So that's how we do it. And that's what's happened in the GSA. And I'd like to say that it's only Barack Obama, but it's not. I mean it's a culture of Washington government. Of course it is. But I think that it has come to light in a sense that now, because of the policies and the treatment of government resources by this administration, it's, you know what, I'm not saying that it's, you know, it's so much worse than the last one before, but it's worse. and it's at a harder time. It's the time. You know what? I really don't think it'd be a big deal, frankly, if the country was prospering and we had 4% unemployment. You know what I'm saying? And the stock market was through the roof, and housing. You know, people had money and people had jobs. I don't think people would notice. I really don't. I don't think people would notice. But the fact of the matter, here in Hillsborough County, where I live, the unemployment rate is still 10%. It's down thanks to Governor Scott and some other folks doing a Herculean job, doing the heavy lifting here in Florida. But it's still 10%. It's still 10%, and it's still 17 to 21% in the African American community. Still. So now people are noticing. GSA officials, and this is back to the article, landed special deals with resorts to get them suites where parties were held on a taxpayer's dime. They were missing electronic devices such as iPads, purchased for prize. They're having prize ceremonies, giving away iPads. Representative Jeff Denim, a Republican from California, chaired the Transportation Subcommittee hearing, summed up his frustration and that of others, telling GSA witnesses to the agency suffered from this culture of fraud, waste, and corruption, and possibly cover-ups and inside deals with vendors. This is not only a dark day for GSA, but a dark day for the U.S. government. We wonder why there is so much distrust in government, he said. And you know what? And Representative makes a fantastic point. This is why there's such distrust. And this distrust ends up, you know, we find it at the national level, and it just trickles down because similar things go on at the state, similar things go on, in City Hall. This is a deal. The host of the Las Vegas conference, Neely, who is head of the GSA, invoked his right to remain silent at a hearing Monday and did not appear Tuesday in response to an invitation. His name tag was at the witness table for a time, and then it was removed. So Neely decided that he was going to plead the fifth because he knew that the jig was up. And he just said, I'm not going. You can't. Screw it. I'm not going. You know what? I don't think anyone's going to go after him because they know he's going to come in and say nothing. They're going to have to charge him with something, and they probably will. But again, it's a culture. You know, when I worked in the Hillsborough County school system, we talked about, you know, why is this school different than this school? Because of the culture, because of the kind of leadership you have, because of the kind of kids you have, because of the kind of teachers you have. And basically, it's leadership. We all took our lead from the leader. The first principal I had when I worked at the last high school I worked was more touchy-feely and cared about kids' emotions and those kind of things, but was more hard-nosed with teachers. So the staff ended up being the exact same way. People were really good with adults. And again, everybody takes their lead from the leaders. That's why we call them leaders. All right, folks, when we get back, we're going to talk a little bit more about this because I think this is important. I don't want to get caught up in this day after day because there are truly other things going on. Because this is again a symptom of the things we just talked about. So there's more to expose, and we have to look at leadership. You know, when we start talking to our friends about whether Barack Hussein Obama should be president again for another 4 years, we have to start looking at more than just, more than just did he get vetted last time. Doesn't matter, president now. We have to look at what kind of job he's doing. We know that they can't, that the Democrats can't run on their record. We know that. And now we have to just start exposing that record. Just start telling the truth. And you can tell, the greatest thing about telling the truth is that it can be told in such a matter-of-fact way It could just be told in such a matter-of-fact way. Look at the GSA scandal. This is part of a leadership problem. It just is. Well, you haven't before. Yes, but not to this degree. It's leadership. You know, look what's going on in the country now. Is this a time for this kind of stuff to be happening? Do you think that the folks in the, you know what I'm saying? You hear me, right? You can do the very same thing with your friends and neighbors. You can. So this is, I think it's really, really important that we use the performance or lack thereof of this. Be back with more of the Law Talk Show right now.
Okay, I got it.
It's easy to take a day for granted. You and your family are connected by routine, and you stick to it. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if life as you know it has completely turned on its head? What if your day's routine is disrupted, and you can't reach your family? Have you planned for that? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, it's up to you to be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Today. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Ready.gov. This message brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
This entire piece of music was played with only two instruments, a right hand and a left hand. Hands can do incredible things, but nothing compares to using them to help save a life with hands-only CPR. If an adult suddenly collapses, call 911, then push hard and fast in the center of their chest until help arrives. Hands-only CPR is recommended by the American Heart Association, and it's incredibly easy and effective. Find out more about this latest method of CPR at handsonlycpr.org. The power to help save a life is in your hands. A message from the American Heart Association and the Ad Council.
Hey, Dad, how do you throw a curveball? How do you build a fort? How do refrigerators run? How do fish learn how to swim?
Kids ask a lot of questions.
How high can you jump?
But you don't have to know every answer.
How many phone numbers are there?
Because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent.
How do cell phones work?
There are thousands of children in foster care who don't need every question answered.
What's electricity?
They just need you.
What's the moon made of?
For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
In these hard economic times, you've got to do whatever you can to save money. One of our biggest expenses can be our cars, especially when unexpected repair bills hit. Not anymore. If you have a car, truck, or SUV, you can stop paying for all covered repairs. That's right. You might not have to pay a penny more than you want for repairs. Just call 1-877-229-7271 right now to see if you qualify. Repairs for your engine, transmission, and much more can become a thing of the past if your vehicle has less than 130,000 miles. Just call 877-229-7271 today and get your car protected, saving you hundreds, even thousands of dollars. Phone lines are open right now. See if your vehicle qualifies. Just call 1-877-229-7271 to get your car protected today. Call 877-229-7271. That's 1-877-229-7271. Never pay for covered car repairs again. Just call 877-229-7271. That's 877-229-7271.
Hi, this is Ozzy Osbourne. For many years, you know I've had a drink problem, and I'm trying to battle that problem every single day. But one thing I don't do, I don't drive my car when I'm drinking. I get someone to drive me. Do not drink and drive. It's the stupidest thing. If you drink, just don't drive. Not only are you going to hurt yourself, you may hurt some other person, and you wouldn't want that on your conscience, would you?
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
we're back with more of the Will Austin Show here on Blog Talk Radio and Red State Talk Radio Network. It is a pleasure to be here. I enjoy this so much. And you know what? I was thinking that if you know what, and we're in this campaign to win it. We got stuff to do. This county is a mess in so many ways, and has such great potential that's not being realized. However, if that doesn't, you know, if that doesn't work out, you know, we're heading back to AM radio, folks. We are, and we're heading back not as and not with this whole craziness about, you know, some brokerage show where we have to pay them. No. This audience, this groove, this energy is going back, and we're busting AM radio wide open, because you know what? It's time that they get that energy. It's time that they get that new energy. And it's from people like you who help out. You can go to the WillAustinShow.com website and click the donate button at the top of the page. It's you folks that help out, that make it possible. It's your energy that makes this possible. Listen, I want to tell you something before we get back to the show. I want to tell you something. Speaking of that, you know what? I said that a long time ago that this show was about not about what I'm doing, but about what you're doing and what you're going to do. And there's somebody in, you know, we've got some new commission candidates, Margaret Inclinuto, we had Steve Kona. Steve Kona decided to drop out, but we've got a guy named Don Cruz, who's running for District 6 here, and he's come up with a fantastic thing called PIWA. PIWA, I can say it. I talk for a living. PIWA. It has to do with improving your property improvements without assessments. He has an entire plan, and if you go to PIWAPlan.org, that's PIWAPlan.org, PIWAPLAN.org, you can learn all about it. You can also go to the WillAustinShow.com website, and there's a small article there about it. You know, and it's something that, you know, that's important here in Hillsborough County, but I think it's something that you can use to you know, in your own communities. And like I said, it's about what Don Cruz is doing, and to make where he lives better, and that's what you can do, and that's what this show has always been about. It's always been about what can you do to make where you live better. And Don Cruz has put together the PIWA plan as property improvements without assessments. You know what? That the whole idea that you can improve your property without your taxes going up, and imagine the benefit to that. Imagine you know we know where the housing. I mean that the housing crisis was the epicenter of this last debacle, financial debacle that we have. We know that. So that's where it's going to have to start. That's what has to improve. Whatever fell down before is what you have to pick up. That makes sense. So imagine being, that homes in your neighborhood, you could go and make improvements. You can go get new roofs. You can have additions to your home. You can do things like painting. You can do things like, all the things it takes. Maybe put in a new lawn. I mean, whatever improvements to your home to of course add value. You can add value to them without adding taxes. Now, when you get all those folks, all those guys out there working in your yard or working on your house or working in your home, what happens then? The economy is instantaneously stimulated. The housing industry is instantaneously stimulated without the burden of assessments, taxes. So I think you need to read more about it. You can go to PIWAPlan.org. That's PIWAPLAN.org and read more about it, or you can check out the snippet that's on the WillieLawsonShow.com website. And that'll take you there too. I think that's really, really important. That's PIWAPlan.org. My friend Don Cruz is doing that. I think it's fantastic. All right, now enough of that. And again, if you want to talk to him, I'm making sure. Oh, it's Don Cruz, one word. Don Cruz at PIWAPlan.org. Don Cruz, that's Kruse at peopleofplan.org. All right, thanks so much. Listen, back to what we were talking about. Let's see here. I'll make sure that everything's cool. Okay. I'll look back there in a second. I'm reading an article, so don't be mad with me. I only have a small screen here. This is from Politics Now from the LA Times. The General Service Commission official who was first to bring attention to excessive spending took place at a 2010 conference in Las Vegas, testified Tuesday to support government investigation of subsequent dealings with the agency. Deputy Commissioner Susan Britta told those attending on Tuesday's House Transportation and Infrastructure Subcommittee hearing, "I share your anger and disappointment with GSA conduct." Britta initially informed Robert Peck, the former commissioner of the Public Building Service, of our concerns and need for a conference had and since aided the Inspector General Brian Miller's examination of GSA. Peck was one of the two deputies fired from the GSA following the resignation of agency's administrator, Martha Johnson. 10 other GSA employees have since been placed on leave. This is amazing. There are stories, and I can't find the email of Neely inviting personal friends, saying, "Oh, we'll get you a room next to ours, and we'll pick up the tab, and we'll have a great time." It is absolutely amazing. But again, it is my view.
Oh, we just got warmed up.
And it may not be everybody else's view, but it's definitely my view that, you know what, it's all about leadership.
Just get warmed
up. It's about setting the tone from the top. And now here on line one from the United Socialist Republic of Connecticut is my friend Robert. Good afternoon. What's up?
Brother Lawson, how are you? Always a pleasure.
I'm good.
Doing a good job here. Before I get started, there was a... I wanted to kind of touch on this. I'm not going to, because I have a lot of admiration for Dr. Cosby. But he kind of, I do respectfully disagree with him because he weighed in on the Martin situation, killing. And see, this is what, I mean, he made a good point when he said it was not about race, but to me, it's not even about the gun. Because, especially in the South, a lot of folks grew up with guns. We didn't have this sporadic, just irresponsibility. This came down to a individual that misread his place, okay, took it upon himself to do something he shouldn't have done. And he's going to ultimately pay the price.
The car,
you know, it's not the instrument.
I mean, he could have had a baseball bat in the truck, reach back and smack Trayvon in the head and killed him. It wouldn't have been a gun. And I agree. And I heard Dr. Cosby, and I like, and again, this is like you, Robert, I like that he played down the race part of it. I don't think it's necessarily the gun part of it. He could have reached back again and grabbed a baseball bat or a tire iron or anything really out of his truck.
I mean, I can't drink. Can I tell another person not to drink? I don't think so, right? And obviously, if the weapon is not your forte, I say fine. See, and people to the right, we don't try to indoctrinate the masses because we have an opinion or a problem with something. You identify, because there are, quite frankly, I know here in the socialist state here, actually it's pretty straight and forward. You can get your permit. It takes a couple of months, but certainly the first time you get an arrest, they pull it, and then if everything goes well, you get it back. But it's like with anything else. With rights, there's responsibility.
Certainly.
But to say to try to target, I think maybe what he was trying to say really, when you look at our community, there is this kind of, it has become kind of defining your manhood sort of thing.
Well, yeah. And from that
perspective, I do
and
agree.
And Dr. Cosby lost his son through suicide.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so, you know what?
I hear what you said.
It took me a while to remember that, and I said, okay, that's where he's coming from.
Yeah, that's where he's coming from, right? I really do. And I still remember that day when that happened, because I was listening to a talk show host named Bob Grant, and that was real shocking.
Again, my son's here. He just came from school a little bit ago, and he's in his room taking a nap. And you know what?
Yeah.
I can't imagine losing him that way. I can't imagine losing.
Yeah.
Him. You know
Amen.
What? Because he's supposed to bury me. That's how it's supposed
exactly.
to work.
Exactly.
I'm not supposed
exactly,
to bury.
Exactly, brother.
I've seen people bury their. I mean, I've seen grown men bury their kids, and mm-hmm. and there's nothing worse.
Yeah.
There's nothing,
there is nothing worse. And God forbid, I have a daughter, so I hear what you're saying. And quite frankly, she's not in the greatest of light, so to speak. But you pray and try to just be there.
Amen. That's
how
you do
it. All I can be is an overseer at this point.
Well, that's your
because she's a grown lady.
That's your position now. That's exactly right. So listen, because I have not gone the 2 hours yet, and I hear what you're saying. I heard you. I wasn't kidding. But what about this GSA thing, man? Do you think this is notwithstanding anything else, just mm-hmm. just looking at the situation as it is now, the players
sure.
in place now,
mm-hmm.
do you agree or disagree with me that this is just a leadership thing, that
yeah.
the folks at the GSA
yeah, exactly.
are looking at the administration and going, you know what, they're partying like it's 1999, we can party like it's 1999 too, just because that's how
sure.
people are.
Yeah, exactly. Did Clinton's have parties? Did Bush have parties? Yes. But you got to remember, those were different times, right? Clinton had the luxury of not really having a war, per se. There were episodes, if you will, but nothing major. And he also had the blessings of not having anything major happen on his watch, and that was good for the country. And he did, and he was able to triangulate. Right, and I think coming from a red state did help him a little bit. It would be interesting to see whether or not had he had a liberal Congress the last 2 years, what would have happened. But look, he, you know, in some regards, he did a good job. Now you fast forward up until today, you're talking about. But trust me when I tell you, this man, whatever, if you're waiting for him to triangulate, you're waiting for Christ to come. Because I don't mean that in a facetious way. I'm just saying it ain't going to happen. Now, the Messiah is coming, but I'm saying he's who he is. And I think, quite frankly, I think Sal Alinsky would be very proud of his prodigal son.
Because he's doing everything
he needs to do from his perspective. You see?
Yeah,
the people don't understand.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, this whole idea that you know, and we kind of face this at the midpoint of the first term, that President Obama would pull a Clinton and triangulate and you know what,
yeah.
and moderate his views, and I thought there ain't no way on God's green earth because this guy is not a politician
yeah.
in that traditional sense. He isn't.
Right.
He's willing.
Right.
At that point,
yeah.
I said, this man is willing to be a one-term president if
sure.
he can push his agenda as far as he
exactly.
can push it.
Exactly. As far as he can push it.
Come on, man. I mean, we've been watching this guy
exactly.
since he got on the scene.
He's doubling down on the rhetoric.
Yeah, he is who he is. And you know what? And again, I said this right after the election. I said, the only person who told the truth in any of this was Barack Obama. He told you who he was.
Well, yeah, and I think that's a brilliant thing because I was listening to, I think I was listening to Savage last night, and a caller called up, and the caller, he was from California, and he was right on the money. He said, this man, he's telling you, he's telling the people who he is and what he's about. And just, this is why I say he's a symptom, because he didn't fool you and I, independent party folks, right? So therefore, because I'd like to think that the independent movement, we base our concepts on character and the core principles of this nation, okay? And I truly believe had we not had the kind of character that I truly believe that you and I have, we would have been some silly little zombie. I mean, it makes me sick. I went to the supermarket yesterday, and this young lady, she had on a T-shirt, and it was had Obama's picture on it. And I said, you see what I'm saying? And I'm not saying she doesn't have a right to do that. But what I'm saying is that it's not even justified, not even a little bit. This man could care less about her plight and her kids' plight. See, he has bigger fish to fry, which is to dismantle this country from the roots. He's trying to tear the roots out of it.
Well, like I said in the open, I said, here's the deal. We need somebody. We need somebody who's in that seat, who looks at our capitalist system that has gotten us as far as it's gotten us. Someone who believes in it and appreciates it and can advocate for it. Obviously, you know what? He doesn't believe in it.
Sure.
He doesn't appreciate it. And so thus he can't advocate for it.
That's
not a pejorative. I mean, it's not a pejorative. That's a descriptor. I'm just saying
based on what he said
and what he's done, he doesn't believe in it. And he won't advocate for it. When you start talking about spreading the wealth and you start talking about the things he's talked about, then you say, okay, this is a person who doesn't believe in this economic system. Now, and people always get crazy, Robert, but the deal is, hey, listen, everybody calm down. You know, Canada, right up north, a good friend of the U.S., is a socialist state.
Yeah.
France in Europe, and most of the countries in Europe that are good friends with the United States are socialist states.
Yeah.
I'm not painting this guy like he's Beelzebub. I'm just saying that his system, the things that he wants, don't fit our market. It doesn't fit
exactly. And keep in mind, just to show you what the difference between countries that are to the right versus countries to the left. Now, the left, in order for them to, I think it would make them feel better if all the other nations kind of fell in line and socialized medicine, take over banks and businesses and yada, 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 yada. See, but countries that just love freedom, we can live and let live. If Willie Lawson wants to be a socialist, I'm fine with it. Just don't come to my neighborhood pushing it. That's all. Okay.
Yep.
You see? But it's not, and see, this is another thing I'm noticing about the left. Keep in mind, too, Will, these same countries that are friendly to us, they're going down the tubes, too, because, see, this entitlement culture, you have to pay for it. You have to have, we at one time, we were a $15 trillion economy, right? To do the things that the left and the progressives want to do, we would need a $30 trillion economy. Even if me and Willie Lawson said, you know what, we need more of this, we need more socialism, blah, blah, blah. You and I understand, even if we were, if that was in our DNA, we understand you can't sustain these things.
No, it's definitely not sustainable. Somebody mentioned the other day that if you take the debt of the countries in Europe that are really in trouble, the Portugals, the Spains, the Greeces, the Italies, and you add them up, I think their total debt is something around $13 trillion. Ours alone is 15 and growing exponentially.
Yeah. And I think that Canada is a very beautiful country. I'm not mad at them because the reality is starting to bubble. See,
yes, it is.
They tell you how nice and how beautiful the hospitals are there, but they don't tell you that the waiting room in an emergency is about 4 days long. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I'm a bread and butter. I'm the bottom line there.
I've got a neighbor across the street. Let me tell you a story. I got a neighbor across the street, and the same exact thing. His mother is dying of stomach cancer. She may have already passed away. And we were having a conversation out in the yard. And he said, you know what, all those things are free there. It takes twice as long for anything to happen.
Right.
So this disease progressed while she was waiting on procedures. And now they have just sent her home to die.
Mm.
The fact of the matter here is, and I was able, because we had a conversation about a year ago about all this healthcare stuff, and and he said, well, but it's free, blah, blah, blah. But when it came home to his house, when it came home to his mom, now I would never go into, you know what, this is never, I would be the worst SOB in the world to go back. See, I told you so. I'd be, but it bothered me.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, you know what? I wish you just, I'm thinking in my brain, I wish you had just gotten her and brought her here.
Yeah.
And just brought her here, and she wouldn't have had to have insurance. She wouldn't have had to have anything. We could have taken care of her because that's how we do it.
Mm-hmm.
So his mom, it passed. Amen. You know what? Didn't get the treatment she needed because she was waiting. She was waiting.
Yep. Amen.
And they tell you, once you get there, once you get in the door, it's great.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe
yep.
that. Once you get in the door, it's great. But it takes you too long to get in the door. You may die waiting.
Exactly. That's why I say everything that glitter is
gold.
Right? I'm not saying that we don't need to put some straighten out these kinks here. But what I'm saying, that was not a solution. What they did 2 years ago was not a solution. That was about redistributing wealth and control. And you know what? Well, that's why I don't get as mad as I used to. These people can't help it, brother.
No.
Because when you don't build your quote-unquote philosophy on character and principle, just for example, you know, one of the reasons why there is this double standard is because, well, they can't, just like Jesse Jackson's daughter was on a Bill O'Reilly, and he said, don't you think that Al Sharpton and Jesse should apologize for the race baiting? And she said, well, we need to kind of move forward. But that was not that was not an answer. They can't do it. It's not in them saying, you know,
that. I love
the
that.
Race
we
baiting.
Move forward. Okay, we're going to move forward,
yeah.
But don't you think you should apologize first? Well,
yeah.
Let's just forget about all that. No,
yeah.
I don't want to forget about
and,
it. I don't want to talk about it.
She said it with
it
a straight face, Will.
That's how they do it.
Brother, you know, Lawson, she said it with a straight face, and I said, you know what? They can't. See,
can't
conservatives, true conservatism, independent conservatism, we call it like we see it. There's no shame in my game. I can sit here and say, well, you know, I wasn't always a conservative-minded person.
No.
I engaged in bad behavior, and it wasn't until the consequences made it so bad that I had to drop my gloves. And I went through a kind of a born-again experience. And as
you
I
went through a transformation
out,
here, like a lot of us did. And,
yeah.
And for
so,
some
so
people, it was severe,
take,
and for some people, it was a little more genteel.
Yeah, thank you, brother. So that's what it is, and that's what we need to sell to people. We need to tell our young women that your body is not a recreation ball, right? We need to tell our men it's not a man to have a baby and walk off to the sunset with your tattoos and your braids. That's not a man. A real man is not going to impregnate a woman and then leave her holding the luggage. See, we're not shaming people enough. That's the big part of the problem, and you blame the left for that.
Shame is dead. Shame is dead in this country. That's very true. All right, listen, man. I know you want me to go over an hour for a couple hours. I do know that. I have heard you, bro. I have. I swear to you, I've heard you.
I got you, bro.
But we've only got a few seconds, man. I got to get up.
I got to get
up out of here. Listen, thanks again, man. There you go. Thanks again, man. Have a fantastic rest of the day. Peace out.
Thank you, bro.
All right, listen, we got to get out of here. Thanks so much for coming to Will Austin today. Listen. If you like what we do, if you like what goes on here, go to the WillAndAustinShow.com website, click the donate button at the top of the page. That's really, really important. We've got some things that we're planning that we're going to be able to do. We're going to be able to go to the Republican National Convention, which is right here in my front yard. Not in my backyard. It's in my front yard. And we're going to need some upgrades and equipment. We're really going to need your help. So go to the WillAndAustinShow.com website, click the donate button. If you want to know more about me, go there too. To know more about me, what I'm about, how I got here, and all that kind of stuff. We're taking a conservative approach, but maybe it's a little different than you think. Maybe it's a little different than you think. Go ahead before you hate, investigate. I just made that up. But in any case, so thanks again for coming. Listen, we'll be back tomorrow with more of the Will Austin Show here on Blog Talk Radio and Red State Talk Radio. Check us out then. Again, go out there and learn something, love somebody, and for goodness sake, take care of yourself.